Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Well, well, well.
Oh, hello, Joe. What do you know?
Not a whole lot. Oh, what have we here? More video nasties.
Yeah, I was thinking, would you want to watch a movie?
Okay.
Well, let's see here. How about we let the fingers do the walking, shall we?
Keep going.
It's not up there. Somebody forgot to reload the prop.
God damn it.
Oh, here it is. Cannibal Holocaust, how about that?
Okay, then.
All right, let's see. Due to its shocking and violent nature, nobody under 17 will be permitted to view this film.
Well,
how old are you?
What?
Right. All right.
Oh, good.
So what'd you get us for dinner?
Ribs.
Ribs?
Yes.
Watch it, Alan. I'm shooting.
Oh, good Lord. It's unbelievable. It's horrible. I can't understand the reason for such cruelty. It must have something to do with some obscure sexual rite, or with the almost profound respect these primitives have for virginity.
Thank you. Think of ourselves! We gotta get the film back home, Alan! Think of the film!
So, we just watched Cannibal Holocaust. And boy, was it fun!
Yay!
How should I say, a very intense film, shall we say.
I have a bad taste in my mouth.
But a thoughtful bad taste, yeah.
Well, that's the problem. You shouldn't be eating people.
Ah, damn it.
I thought I was having Soylent Green.
Yeah.
Or hot dogs, which is a different kind of thing.
All right. You have two sentences. Tell us about the movie.
Okay, a bunch of filmmakers disappear in South America while trying to study cannibal culture, end up committing atrocities against those people. An anthropologist is sent to find them and the missing reels of film they shot to find out what happened to them.
Alright. So we probably ought to start off with just addressing the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Alright. I'm pretty sure we can all agree that, in fact, killing animals for entertainment purposes, in fact, a terrible thing. Absolutely, that's abominable. No condoning whatsoever. However, I am, in fact, going to give it a positive spin, because I think the movie is stronger with it. All right, now, check this out. So the movie starts out in a very documentary style. It's a news report, and news reporters giving you all the details, bringing you up to speed, giving you all the exposition, all the characters going into the jungle. It's a very... It draws you into a very very documentary style. Very, very linear. Very staged. And then the movie kind of... It transitions very seamlessly, almost like you weren't expecting... Like you're not anticipating it. It just kind of smoothly transitions into this traditional movie style. Cutaways, close-ups, reaction shots, and so on and so on and so on. That's the bulk of Dr. Monroe going into the jungle and finding the film canisters. Then he gets the canisters, he comes back to New York, develops the film, and we get a sample of the filmmaker's previous documentary, The Green Hell. The Road to Hell. Yeah, okay, so the previous documentary they had done was The Road to Hell, which was using actual stock footage of Venezuelan or
Panama. Well, some of it was execution by firing squad.
Well, yeah,
but or something like
it was some Banana Republic where it was actual people getting actually killed. It wasn't it wasn't for the movie. It was just stock footage that was used in the movie. And then it moves into the found footage segment where they get into the reels that the filmmaker's first expedition shot, and it's all staged in a way to blur the line between reality and fiction. And I think the animal killing, if they're willing to do that to a turtle, and you're seeing people actually get snuffed in the stock footage, then when the actors wind up dying, you're sitting there thinking, holy crap, it adds verisimilitude to their, yeah, to those actors' deaths. So while it's a reprehensible act, I think it reinforces what the film is trying to say.
Well, also there's a stepping up as well. You know, you notice that they're gradually you see things that are just more and more horrific as the film progresses, at least with regards to the sequence involving the film crew's found footage. It just gradually ramps it up till the very end, where it's just like, oh my God, you know, the audience is like, is this real or not? And the animal killing is part of that whole stepping up.
Mm.
I mean, I think that animal killing of actual animals for entertainment is
reprehensible.
Reprehensible, thank you.
You have no verisimilitude.
Hey, you said it right.
Right.
What?
And, but it actually does add an element. And with the killing of the pig, it's also a plot element as well.
Right.
Because it's just the very first stage in the brutality that the film crew does on these poor villagers.
And the other thing to remember is that back in the... So the movie was made in 1980, 1981, something like that. Back then, you wouldn't have been able to produce a fake turtle that looked real. You wouldn't have been able to produce a fake pig that looked real. Yeah. So it would have taken the viewer out of the moment that, oh, that's just a fake pig. Oh, that's just a fake animal that they're killing, you know.
Yeah.
So it's disgusting, but it kind of needed to be real.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done it, but they also were working on a limited budget.
Right.
You know.
And to be fair, the director, Diodato, he regrets it deeply. He says, oh man, if I could take it back, I would. That's a terrible idea.
And also the actors and film crew involved were also
horrified
by it, yeah. and had arguments about it.
And a fight.
In a fight.
Physical fight.
So.
And they physically broke down, and yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Crying so, and all kinds of stuff.
You know, if you know the actual backstory involved of the stuff behind the movie, it's like, well, they actually had genuine reactions to something that was horrific.
Also, in addition to being a plot point in the movie at various points, it helps reinforce that these guys are utter bastards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the film crew are capital-level douchebags.
You kind of have to build... Since the director is building the case of condemning the media for sensationalism, you kind of have to build your characters, your villains, for lack of a better word, to be, you know... bastards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of utter bastardry in this. I mean, the way the film crew treats each other, and especially treats the one woman that's part of them, is callous. The way they treat their guy is cruel. The way they treat the natives is ugh. I'm not even going to start on that one.
But the interesting thing is, okay, so the film crew isn't the only bastards in the movie. The executives, so they're sent into the jungle at the behest of the network because they've got ratings in their eyes. So the network, when they get the footage, are fine with screening. It's like, hey, we're going to run this on a TV special.
The more you rape their senses, the happier they are.
And even though they're seeing all sorts of horrors unfold and all sorts of atrocities committed against the natives, so they're okay with brown people getting hurt, but the second when they get to the end of the footage and the white people are getting killed, they're like, whoa, hey, this is a step too far, man. We gotta back off, man.
Plus there's a rape, you know, shot. Mm-hmm. You know, all the men basically raping a native girl out in the grassy area, and the executives are kind of like this, because not so much a woman's being raped, but because they'll make them maybe look bad to other brown people in this country, and maybe, you know, liberal whites who don't like that sort of thing.
And the only person who was voicing objections, the woman of the filmographers, were like, she was objecting to the rape because them shooting the rape because they only had 3 cans of film left, so yes. It's like, you know, quit wasting film. We've got more stuff to do.
For her, it was a technical matter plus territory. You know, her boyfriend's, you know, getting it on with another woman.
She didn't give a damn about another woman getting raped.
And then that woman ends up dead later, and she looks
rather
up at
horrifically.
There.
Yeah.
And she's looking up at it, you know, and you can't really tell what she's thinking about it. Either, you know, this is, why are we still here, or this is sick, my boyfriend is, you know, Well, I mean, we're never going to know what she was thinking because she never actually voiced her opinion about anything other than, you know, this is... Quit filming this, because all throughout the movie, anytime she gets naked, you know, one of the guys, I think it was Jack Anders, is filming her in their hotel room, and she ends up naked. He's like, put that camera down. And then later when she and Alan are shagging on top of this burned-down hut with the corpses burned... you know, bodies of natives in there, you know, she tells Jack to put down the damn camera because they want a private moment, even though they're fucking in front of about
there's 500 natives just over the,
you know, captives over by the river there. So like, she's a total fucking hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, the whole lot of them are, but,
Oh, yeah, and that's another thing. The whole, you know, not only treating the natives like shit, but treating them as, you know, savages and primitives, you know, and Alan holds up a slightly shrunken, decapitated head of, I believe it was a Shamatari. He's talking about these primitive, you know, people, you know, so on, blah, 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 and he's just talking down, you know, basically about these people like they're the savages.
Well, and, I mean, that gets back to Dr. Monroe's final point. He comes out of the... He tells the network executives to pound sand, comes out, and the final shot is him lighting a pipe and going, you know, who are the real savages? Big moment. And then the camera pans up to the Newark skyline. Okay, now, there's absolutely no way that Diodato could have anticipated what, you know, some fuckheads were going to do 20 years down the line. But the camera pans up to the World Trade Center. So it's like, well, that just made his ending extra loaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One interesting thing that they did in the very intro,
mm-hmm.
That they also repeated throughout the film, was the contrast between the rather lush and beautiful green Amazonian basin and cut to New York City. You know, an environment which is also in its own way beautiful, but
just
equally
savage
and brutal.
Right.
You know, I mean, you don't walk around the Amazon rainforest unprepared. You don't walk around downtown New York City unprepared either.
Particularly back in the 80s when, in fact, 42nd Street was interesting as opposed to merchandising.
And yeah. One other interesting contrast. So a Yakumo warrior that captured by the military.
The Shaman's son.
He has a tattoo on the back of his neck, there's several reverse chevrons shaped like a basic tree, part of the tree people. And so it's this kind of reddish-brown tattoo. Now, at the end of the movie, maybe this is accidental, maybe it was set up, there's a truck driving down the street that has, in a circle, a tree-shaped type of symbol. I think it's like a recycling company or something like that, and I thought, oh, that's an interesting contrast. You got a jungle person with this thing on the back of his neck, and then in this urban jungle, you've got this tree with the thing on the back of this truck. And it's kind of the contrast between the darker tattoo on a live thing and then the kind of green tattoo that means not only, like, recycling or whatever, but also the kind of the color of money. You know, it's an interesting, you know, thing to complete that whole...
If it was an accident, it was an amazingly well put accident, but I actually kind of think that was deliberate. Subtle, which is nice, but deliberate.
So the movie is pretty much broken into two halves. The second half being the found footage half, and the first half being the more traditional movie style. I thought it was interesting. So in the back half was loaded with utter bastards. The beginning, however, Dr. Monroe and his quest to go into the jungle and find the footage, was... So he's a complete fish out of water. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has two guides with him. And he's not arrogant... arrogant enough to say, okay, I know what I'm doing. He's smart enough to defer to his two guides. And even though, actually, occasionally, his ignorance and his compassion get them in danger a couple of times. But... at the end of the movie, or at the end of his segment, his compassion and his willingness to abandon his Western morals and viewpoints to embrace the native lifestyle and eat the offered bit of liver or whatever that they gave him. But it was what unlocked the mystery. His compassion got them where they needed to go versus the filmmakers. Their dickness got them killed.
Oh, yeah, those people deserve what happened to them.
Big time.
I mean, granted, it was rather brutal what happened to them, but
they deserved it. Every bit of it.
Every bit of it, they deserved it. I mean, granted, I don't advocate that level of doing somebody in, but
a little bit of an extreme reaction there.
Well, that's because you've got a Western, you know, American sensibility, whereas their, you know, native culture, you know, direct intervention, you know, between tribes, and they're doing what they do.
Well, and all the tribes are at war right now. I mean,
yeah, that's another thing.
They might be. They're very brutal from our standards. I mean, that's just, you know, how they roll.
But more often is brutal.
Yeah, and besides that, I mean, one of the things they deal with is they take an adulteress and have her, I guess her husband, take her to a sacrificial place somewhere on the mainland across the river and brutally, you know, rape her with a stone and then shove mud with sticks in it, you know, up her vag to torture her, and then he beats her to death with a stone, you know, clubs her to death. And one of the things that points to is, in native culture, a lot of times there's bloodlines to consider. They don't want their blood mixed with the blood of their enemies. If she'd gone out and had sex with another person from another tribe, then that's gonna compromise the genetic line of the tribe, and that would tie them together in a way they don't want. They're not ready for that, so they're taking extreme measures to make sure nothing like that happens.
Yeah.
That's their way, and we can't really judge them from our standpoint of being, you know, Western Americans. We're guilty of a lot worse, and we often deal with stuff
also
in even worse ways.
A lot of adulterer punishments, even in Western culture, a while back, we're also pretty darn brutal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reminded of the whole throwing stones at adulterers, you know, and basically executing them by throwing rocks at them. That wasn't very nice at all, but it's what happened. Another thing that was interesting to me was that the relationship between the experts and their guides was a lot more sympathetic with Monroe and his guides, because he actually treated them like people.
Right.
And the film crew, even though their guide was part of their party, they kind of treated him like dirt.
Well, they did cut his leg off after he got bit by us. Snake, scorpion, spider, something.
The snake.
Right.
In his boot.
Yeah.
He didn't bother to check his boot, which he should have done, being an experienced guide. You never...
Or that just means he's a shit guide.
Yeah. There is one interesting thing in that where they find his body later, where Monroe finds his body in that section, there's a nice little bit of foreshadowing there, but... He's checking his feet. He's cleaning his, tending to his blisters and whatnot. And that's what the guide was doing before he got bit by the snake.
In the same spot.
In the exact same spot. And it's like, wow, that was well done.
Well, there's a couple of layers to the movie. If you think about it, okay, you think about the first half of the movie after you watch the second half. It's like, oh, okay, that's where they go.
Yeah, that's where
that's coming
and,
from.
And then Chaco, the main guide for Monroe, he found empty turtle shell, you know, which, of course, is probably the same turtle that... Either that
the
same
ate.
Turtle or similar one that the filmmakers killed.
Well, they said it was in a fire pit. I'm assuming that it was probably the same turtle because it was there. Well, say what you say. Think about the movie. It's brutal. It's reprehensible or whatever. You cannot say that, in fact, it is poorly made.
Not at all.
No, it was very well made. I mean, it could have been edited slightly in a few places to, you know, be a little, shall I say, more palatable. But that would be the filmmaker's choice. It should not be something that should come down on it from a top, you know.
But yeah, I think the movie was very strong. I mean, the acting was good all around. The effects were about 90% decent. There were a couple of spots where, like, wait a second, you know, the wig comes off one of the fake heads. But you know,
they used actual Brazilian natives to play the
for
natives.
The majority of the more
except for that white chick.
Oh, which one was, they did. They went to one of the cities in South America. I think it was in Venezuela. They did use a couple of natives or women from, I believe, one of the cities in Venezuela. But they also used an Italian actress to play one of the natives who got killed. Probably because, you know, Italian law requires you to have a certain number of Italians in your movie. So Francesca Chiardi, who played Faye Daniels, the script woman to Alan Yates' girlfriend, she's Italian. And she was hired because she was in New York at the time at the same acting place. The rest of them were and spoke English, and so did the guy who played Luca Barbareschi, who played Mark Tommaso, one of the other cameramen.
Yeah. All right, so what do we think about the movie?
I liked it.
Damn fine movie.
I thought it was strong. I thought the theme of media people should not be bastards might be undercut by the fact that Deodato was in fact a media bastard, you know, killing animals. But that, or is that another layer of irony?
Yeah.
I don't know. But no, I thought the movie was strong. I liked that it was well shot. The music was strong. The acting was pretty good. The effects were mostly good.
I didn't find a false note in there, really. You know, I thought it was spot on, you know.
Although, I think this movie is a lot like Grave of the Fireflies, where I won't find myself getting it off the shelf to watch for pleasure. It's one of those, it's definitely an endurance test. It's definitely something you want to watch for.
Or Schindler's List is another one that you only watch on occasion because it just unsettles you so much.
It's a movie you watch with a purpose, not one you watch for pleasure.
It makes you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really does.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Cannibal Holocaust, the nastiest of the video nasties, is out of the way. Hopefully you enjoyed watching us as much as... Wait, no. I hope that you enjoyed watching us significantly more than we enjoyed watching that. If you liked the episode, please like, share, and subscribe. And be sure to catch us again next week when we tackle something hopefully significantly less intense. Now, if you excuse me, I've got a date with forgetfulness. Oh, that's the stuff.
I want this material burned. All of it.